Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Śrīla Bhaktivedānta Swami Śrīla Prabhupāda ki. Again, offering obeisances unto all you brahmanas, I pray that if I should again take my birth in the material world, I will have complete attachment to the unlimited Lord Krishna, association with His devotees, and friendly relations with all living beings. It's beautiful. This is like the perfect prayer. Purport. That a devotee of the Lord is the only perfect living being is explained herein by Maharaj Parikshit. A devotee of the Lord is no one's enemy, although there may be many enemies of a devotee. A devotee of the Lord does not like to associate with non-devotees, although he has no enmity with them. He desires the association of the devotees of the Lord. This is perfectly natural because birds of the same feather mix together. And the most important function of a devotee is to have complete attachment for Lord Sri Krishna, the father of all living beings. As a good son of the father behaves in a friendly way with all his brothers, so also the devotee of the Lord, being a good son of the Supreme Father, Lord Krishna, sees all other living beings in relationship with the Supreme Father. He tries to bring back the upstart sons of the father to a saner stage and to get them to accept the Supreme Fatherhood of God. Maharaj Parikshit was certainly going back to Godhead, but even if he were not to go back, he prayed for a pattern of life which is the most perfect way in the material world. A pure devotee does not desire the company of a personality as great as Brahma, but he prefers the association of a petty living being, provided he is a devotee of the Lord. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki. The permission of the Vaishnavas, I'll try to share some thoughts. Prabhupada writes in the purport, Maharaj Parikshit prayed for a pattern of life which is the most perfect way in the material world. So in this verse we're learning what is the most perfect way to live in the material world. What should we really desire? What should we really pray for? Parikshit is saying, if I have to come back to the material world, then I pray for three things. Isn't it? You find like sometimes in these cartoons, there's like, you know, a genie appears. He's like, you've got three wishes. Right? You know, and then different people go, you know, the default one is, my first wish is that I'll have unlimited wishes. Once there was a man, wife, and his son, and then the genie appeared and said, I'll give each of you one wish. So the man, you know, it's like sometimes family life is not so easy. It's a struggle. So the man goes, I just want to get out of here and go to heaven. So, whoosh, went to heaven. And then he goes to the wife, what's your wish? She goes, I just want to be with my husband. So he's in heaven, you know, having a good time. The wife comes, then the genie comes to the son and goes, what do you want? He goes, I just want my parents back. Straight down again. See, because if you pray for material things, ultimately it doesn't work out. It's not the perfect way of life. Here Prabhupada is saying, Maharaj Parikshit knew, what is the perfect way of life? Three wishes. What three wishes would you like in your life? First one, let me have love for the Lord. Kaviraj Goswami says, Prema dhana vina vyartha daridra jivan. You are considered an impoverished soul, a daridra jivan, if you have prema vina. Prema vina, then you are considered very, very poor. Therefore he says, Dasa kori, make me your servant. Vetan more, and just give me one salary, taha prema dhan, the wealth of love for you. And that is real wealth. Someone who has love for Krishna, that person has wealth, who is having genuine love. And then the second wish is that we must always pray for friendship with the devotees, because that is the essence of how to associate. There must be friendship. And friendship with all kind of devotees, even the guru, isn't it? Bhagavatam says that the guru is not just an authoritative figure, but guru sudrida, sourida. The guru is actually the best friend as well. So friendly relationships with all the Vaishnavas. And then the third wish that Parikshit Maharaj has is that he develop compassion for the deviant living entities, the upstarts. Prabhupada uses the word upstarts in the purport. So these are the three things we want: love for the Supreme Lord, friendship with the devotees, compassion for everyone else. And this is the perfect way of life. If you have these three things, life is very easy. When we don't have these things, when we don't have any love for the Lord, when we're constantly fighting with devotees, and when we are looking at exploiting rather than uplifting those underneath us, then... Therefore, this prayer of Parikshit, when I read it, I thought, oh my God, this prayer comes so many times. If you see this prayer for these three things, it appears many times in the Bhagavatam. For example, Krishna is entering Mathura. And when Krishna enters Mathura, then there are different people that meet him, isn't it? Who's the first that Krishna meets when he comes into Mathura? A very miserly person who ends up getting decapitated. The washerman, right. And then there's someone who then, straight after the washerman, is like the polar opposite, who's just so generous. Kubja's there also, but the lady with the oils. The weaver, isn't it? Gives clothes, gives the garments to Krishna. And then there's one other person who comes and invites Krishna and Balaram to his home. And that's Sudama. This is not Sudama Vipra. This is Sudama the florist in Mathura. So Sudama the florist invites Krishna and Balaram to his home and offers beautiful garlands. And then Krishna and Balaram look at Sudama and say, what benediction would you like? So Sudama says, Sopi vavre chalam bhaktim tasmine vakilatmani tadbhakteshu cha sauhardam bhuteshu cha dayam param. Says exactly the same thing. Sopi vavre chalam bhaktim tasmine vakilatmani. My first desire is let me have love for the Supreme Lord. Tadbhakteshu cha sauhardam. And what's my second wish? That I may have friendship with the devotees. Bhuteshu cha dayam param. And what's the third wish? For all bhuteshu, for all living entities, daya, compassion. Same prayer. In the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, the Navayogendras are expounding on the qualities of different devotees, and they say the same thing. What is the characteristic of a madhyam? Ishvare tadadhineshu balisheshu drisatsucha prema maitri kripa upeksha yakaroti samadhyama. What is the characteristic of a madhyam? Prema, love for the Lord. Maitri, friendship with all the devotees. Kripa, mercy for all those who are ignorant. Same prayer is appearing again. If you look at the fourth canto of the Bhagavatam, Dhruva had a certain prayer. Maybe it was not the best prayer. It was maybe a little bit considered, maybe a little bit materialistic. So later on, Narad Muni came to Dhruva and he said, I'll tell you the best one of the prayers you should make. Let me just recalibrate your vision of what's a good prayer. And what does Narad Muni say to Dhruva? I'll tell you what's a good prayer. Gunadikan mudam lipsed anukrosam gunadhamat maitrim samanadanvichen natapirabhipuyate. So you want to know what's a good prayer? Gunadikan mudam lipsed. Gunadikan means someone who has greater qualities than you. When you meet someone who, or you come across someone who has greater qualities than you, you should feel very, very pleased and you should feel love for them. Anukrosham gunadhamat. And when you meet someone who is gunadhamat, someone who is lower than you, then you should anukrosham, you should be very, very compassionate. Maitrim samanat. And when you meet samanat, someone who's on the same platform, level, friends, peers, then maitrim, you should have friendship. See? So you see the same prayer, if you look through the Bhagavatam, the same prayer is coming again and again, that if you would ever have three wishes in life, these are the three things that we should aim for. Ultimately, all happiness in life is coming from relationships. When we're able to have good relationships, then we feel actual satisfaction of the heart. And these are the three biggest relationships you have in your life. Your relationship with the Lord, your relationship with the devotee, and your relationship with every other person in this world. So Parikshit Maharaj is very, very wise. He knows what to pray for. The problem in the world today is that people don't know what to pray for. They pray for things, but they pray for things which are useless. We mentioned Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj had his prayer to the Lord for a kingdom greater than his great-grandfather. And what was Dhruva Maharaj's realization after asking for this and achieving what he wanted to achieve? Hari Bhakti Sudadaya says, Stana bilasi tapasi stitoham tvam praptavan deva muni druguyam kacham vichinvan apidivyaratnam swamin kritarto smivaram nayache. Dhruva Maharaj says, Stana bhilasi, I had an abhilas, I had a desire, stana, to get a kingdom greater than my great-grandfather. Tapasi stitoham, and in order to get that kingdom, I situated myself in tapasya. Tvam praptavan deva muni draguyam, what I was trying to get is so difficult even for the devas and even for the munis to get. It's not so easy to get what I was asking for. But then I got it. And when I got it, what did I realize? Kacham. Who knows what the word kacham means? Yeah, good. Kacham vichinvan is like I have received broken glass. Means, he says, I was searching for broken glass and instead I received the Divya Ratnam. I was searching for broken glass and instead I received the Divya Ratnam. In other words, I achieved your audience, your darshan. So it's interesting that Dhruva Maharaj compares all your material benedictions to broken glass. Why would we compare material fulfillment of material benedictions to broken glass? Any ideas? Why did he use that? What's significant about broken glass? Yeah, David. Doesn't satisfy us and gives you more trouble. Yeah. It shatters very easy. It can hurt you. It's not only does it not satisfy you, it can hurt you. It's useless. Yeah, some things when they're broken, you can, you know, say even a broken clock says the right time 2 times a day. Right? So some things, even if they're broken, you can use for some benefit. But broken glass, anyone ever found any use of broken glass I don't know. I didn't see so far anywhere. Yeah, Peter. Yeah, it looks nice from a distance, shiny, you know, glitter. All that glitters is not gold. One time they came to Prabhupada and they said, Prabhupada, your tilak is just like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And Prabhupada looked back at the devotee and he said, all that glitters is not gold. Yeah, maybe our tilak is similar, but he is of a different quality. Prabhupada's humility. Yeah, see? So you can just make so much commentary on this. See, it's so significant. Just what the words of the Bhagavatam, what the words of the Bhagavat are, he's saying it's like broken glass. People don't know what to ask for. One Christian saint lady, she said, more tears in this world were shed from prayers that were answered than from prayers that went unanswered. More tears were shed from prayers that were answered than prayers that were unanswered. Because factually, most people, the things they ask for are going to get them into more trouble. And Prabhupada told the story of the Bengali lady who had such a heavy load in the afternoon sun. She was carrying it. And then she was walking with this heavy load, and then she tripped. And then the heavy load and all the rocks went everywhere. He said, Krishna! Krishna appears. He says, what do you want? You called out for me with such desperation, with such devotion, with such complete focus, desire to see me. What would you like? She said, all the rocks have gone everywhere. Please put them... Please put them back in and put it on my head. She said, really? Okay, all right. Did it. Straight on. Then she begins walking in the sun with heavy rocks on her head. Is that the best thing I could have asked Krishna for? Just to put the heavy load back on your head? Now take a look at the prayers that we ask, the prayers that people petition God for, and realize that all they're practically asking for is the heavy load of material life to be put back on their head. Maya sukaya bharam udvahato vimudhan. Bharam means heavy load. Like you have Sita, Ram, Lakshman, Bharat. You know one reason why Bharat is called Bharat? Because Bharat comes from the word bhara. And bhara means heavy. So why is Bharat's name bhara? Why? Can you make the link? Why Bharat? Yeah, he was carrying the kingdom, which he didn't even want. It was like a heavy load that he had to carry. So in the seventh canto, Prahlad Maharaj says, Maya sukaya bharamudvahato vimudhan, nedvo jite paraduratya yavetaranya stvadvigirya vayana mahamrita magna chitto, soche tato vimukacheta sa indriyartha, maya sukaya bharamudvahato vimudhan. I have no problem. I have no problems in my life. But virya gayana mahamrita magna chitto, every day I'm chanting, I'm singing, I'm absorbed in Krishna. I have no problems. So chetato vimukha chetasa indriyartha. But I have one problem. There are vimukha. There are those who have turned their faces away from Krishna. And they are doing what? They're trying to enjoy in the world maya sukaya bharam. And they're holding the heavy load of maya sukaya, illusory material happiness. So I'm worried about them. Therefore, I don't want to go to the forest. I don't want to go to the mountains alone and be liberated alone. I want to take them with me. So people don't know what to ask for. Just like, you know, some years ago, there was this book, The Secret. Did you read it, Daniel? Didn't read it, huh? Rhonda Byrne, The Secret. And her hypothesis was the law of attraction, that the universe vibrates at a certain energy. And if you vibrate at the same energy, then you can attract anything in the universe. Someone needs to give her a Bhagavad Gita, of course, to explain that it's not as simple as that. Although to some extent our consciousness does create the reality, there are other factors beyond our control that are influencing, our destiny. However, the interesting thing is, even if the secret did work, even if the law of attraction did work, even if you could get anything you wanted, people would probably end up 10 times more miserable. Because they don't know the secret behind the secret. They don't know what to attract. They don't know what to ask for. They don't know what is worthy of bringing within your life. People don't know. There's a waste of time to know how to attract anything in the universe. It's an absolute waste of time to know how to attract things in the universe if you have no knowledge of what to attract in the first place. You will simply get yourself into more trouble. And that's why when you look at the Bhagavatam, why is the Bhagavatam full of prayers? Why is the Bhagavatam full of stuti? Because it's instilling within our hearts and minds what you should actually pray for. Because sometimes people ask, why is there so many prayers in the Bhagavatam and the prayers are so similar? They're so similar. Why again? And oh, Supreme Lord, the cause of all causes, the soul of everything in the world, you are in control of it. It seems like the same thing again and again. Because none of us are making these prayers. When was the last time you went in front of Krishna and made a prayer like this? Who's making the prayer? No one's making the prayer. Therefore the Bhagavatam is recalibrating, redefining, educating us into how to actually pray. So to learn how to pray, Shri Radha Gokula Nanda ki, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Shri Gaur Nitai ki. To learn how to pray, the Bhagavatam is there, helping us to understand this. Okay, before I go further, does anyone have any questions on at least this bit? Prayer, what we should pray for, this prayer that Parikshit makes for these three things. Anyone has any questions or comments on this? Stuti. Stuti means prayers. There are different words in Sanskrit for prayer. So stuti means stuti, stava. These are different types of prayer. Glorification. Stuti in Sanskrit also means an unmarried girl. Also means unmarried girl. So how does that relate to prayer or glorification? Because have you noticed devotees who don't want glorification, who don't want fame, who don't want to be acknowledged? The fame, glorification and acknowledgement follows them. Have you noticed? Like Madhavendra Puri, you know. Where is Madhavendra Puri? Where is Madhavendra Puri? Gopinath has saved a pot of sweet rice for you. And when Madhavendra Puri found out, he thought, oh my God. When everyone hears about this, they're going to want to come and glorify me and honor me and worship me and pray to me. Therefore, he said, let me get the hell out of here. Let me get the hell out of here. Let me go to Jagannath Puri and do my service. And the amazing thing is, he reached Jagannath Puri and everyone was waiting for him. So, stuti is like that. And how does it relate to an unmarried girl? The acharyas say that just as when there's an unmarried girl and there is a boy who is very interested, then she's not interested. But when there's someone who's not interested, then she's very interested. Prayer is like that. Those who don't want it, ultimately it comes to them, and those who want it, constantly, I want fame, I want acknowledgement, I want to be recognized, I want position, I want people to appreciate me. Then we will push it away more and more and more. So that's stuti. I'm just thinking for the online.
Yes, just connected to that. So, you know, is there then an effect if, you know, you don't want, or you're not yet at a level where you're, you know, having the same mood of wanting this love for God, like it is there in the scriptures, and you pray for it, then would it work in the same way that, you know, you're not really interested, but because you're trying, then it comes, or should we have to want?
Most of our prayers, we don't actually really fully believe, isn't it? How many of our prayers are we fully invested in? We may believe in our prayers on an intellectual level. We may have moments when they're not just intellectual, but we've got some realization of it that, you know, this is good. But how many of us have really instilled the prayer deep within our heart for any of the things that we pray for? Because our actions do not reflect it. Our words say one thing, but our actions say something quite different. Krishna looks at Arjuna and he says, Asochyan anvasochastvam pragya vadams cha bhashashe. Your bhasha, your words are as if you're a vidvan, a very learned person. But your actions, asochyan anvasochastvam, you're lamenting for all these things. But you're speaking like you're learning. It doesn't fit. Right? We say one thing, we think, that's a given. We already know that. But one of the most, there's a philosophical argument that sometimes comes up, that if God knows everything within your heart, then why even pray? It's a useless task. He already knows what's within your heart. Right? So what is the purpose of petitionary prayer? It's a moot point. You wouldn't do it because God is in your heart. Krishna says, Ishvara sarva bhutanam. So there are many ways to answer that. But one of the major ways that we answer that is we say prayer is more for us than Krishna. It's more for us to get clear. Like we're reminding ourselves, this is what I should actually be aiming for. This is what I should actually place value on. This is what, you know. Therefore we go in front of Krishna and we make many, many different prayers. To help us understand what is really of value. So yeah, it's already a given that we don't have that heartfelt desire for what we ask for, but we continue to ask and instill it within our minds. Yeah.
He says there's five relationships with Krishna: Santa, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya. So unless one is on Santa Ras, one's devotion to Krishna will not grow quickly. So reciting prayers to the holy name helps us to come to Santa Ras, where our devotion to Krishna grows quickly.
Yeah, that's a nice point. Yeah, Santa Ras is basically signified by appreciation. And appreciation in one sense is the foundation of all rasas. If there's no appreciation, there can be no dasyam, there can be no sakyam, no vatsalya, no madhurya. So in that sense, appreciating Krishna, although we say that ultimately devotional service, we should be active in our relationship with Krishna, but still appreciation of Krishna is the very foundation of that. And so, yeah, thank you.
I was just wondering about the, in terms of Krishna consciousness, like when we're in morning program and, you know, how we have fun and things like this and, you know, spin each other around in circles and all this. So I was wondering if that's an effective way of, you know, getting the Lord's attention, or as it's much different to like a church, for example.
Yeah, it's yeah, it's interesting when you look at religious places, like you know, like dancing is not like something you would generally associate with a religious place. I don't know how it was for all of you. Even I remember I was here very young. I came as a kid here to the Mana Temple Room. I must have been under 10 years old, and I remember the first time I saw devotees dancing in the kirtan. I actually remember I was where Rasaraj was, and somehow all the devotees were here in this. And you know what they do? Like they made a whole circle, and then one person goes in the middle and does their thing, you know? So like everyone was doing their thing, you know? And there are some good dancers there as well. I remember as a kid. And I was just like mind blown, like, this is a holy place. Like, why are people dancing? One thing is that if you think of the two most powerful and the two most universal emotional expressions in the world, in all cultures, in all languages, across the board, the two most powerful and universal emotional expressions are the expression to sing and the expression of dancing. In all cultures, you'll find. So it kind of makes sense that in bhakti, which is the ultimate expression of spiritual emotion, it would seem a bit like, how can they not be singing and dancing in bhakti? Is it useful for attracting Krishna's attention? It's just like anything else in spiritual life. It depends on the purity with which it's done. If one is dancing in order to attract attention to themselves, or singing in order to attract attention to themselves, then it's not very useful in attracting Krishna's attention. But if it is done, isn't it? Nectar of Devotion says one of the items of devotional service is to dance in front of Krishna in great abandon without any sense of reservation. It's like, you know, like to dance in front of Krishna without, you know, like wondering, like, okay, how am I looking here? You know, like how is this being received? You know, it requires a certain level of one has gone beyond a selfish absorption. Within that, obviously, we follow rules and regulations so as not to disturb other devotees' devotional experience, because we live in community. But essentially, yes, we must. Even Prabhupada, there's a story of Prabhupada when they used to do Guru Puja in front of him, and Prabhupada used to very much appreciate, you know, the devotees. They used to dance. And Brahmananda Prabhu writes in the early days when they used to do kirtan at Tompkins Square Park, he noticed that you see in those old videos, like some people get up and dance. Interesting dance moves. And Brahmananda Prabhu said he used to get up and he used to begin dancing, and he saw Prabhupada was very happy. And then as soon as he got up dancing, he would think to himself, like, now I can't sit down again, you know. Prabhupada won't be happy, you know. So he said, Once I stood up, I just, you know, carried on dancing till the end of the kirtan. Because he could see Prabhupada was very happy about that. So yes, it is a way of attracting Krishna's attention. It should be done with devotion, without trying to bring attention to oneself, without disturbing anyone else's devotional connection with Krishna. And when done in this kind of way, then Vakreshwara Pandit was dancing for how many hours? 72 hours, something like that. 72 hours, right? 72 hours non-stop. Jao, you can share something about dancing, right? No, you have your bhava, right? Not like it's your thing, but like you are saying, right? You're going to, yeah, please. Give him the mic.
About being carried, like when we give up that kind of selfish absorption and we focus on who we are dancing for, when we focus on that love and that emotional expression towards the Lord, there's, and I don't say I feel that all the time, but I've experienced it a few times, where you're carried, your movements, and that's where you can see the real dancing is happening, is in the grace. You feel very graceful and your movements are invested with grace. And I mean, other people are there, but you also have a kind of full trust that you'll not bump into anyone, or that if you call, you'll be like hampered by some cushions, you know. You have that kind of fearlessness, that all your movements are being completely harmonized with the environment around you. But, so I invite everyone to like, allow to that grace to carry them. And in that way, give themselves to the Lord by movement.
Yeah, I remember, maybe devotees remember the first time they danced in a kirtan. I remember the first time I danced in the kirtan. We had a program with His Holiness Shivaram Maharaj in, it was a youth program, and I remember, I mean, I wasn't dancing much, I was just jumping up and down in one spot. And I was like, what am I doing here, you know? It was quite natural though, you know. So yeah, you can actually see. Actually, you can feel, isn't it, when you're dancing more sincerely and when you're kind of dancing in a very, with a lot of mental kind of projection on it. Yeah. Any other comments or questions? Yes, please.
Just related to prayers, we're trying to develop the mood of not asking Krishna for anything. Yeah, at the same time we're asking for certain, like for devotion, we're asking for different things. So could you maybe elaborate why we ask Krishna for things when we're trying to develop that pure devotion of just dependence on Krishna, whatever comes?
Yeah, we're trying to be dependent on Krishna, but we're also trying to have honest exchange and personal relationship with Krishna also. We're worshipping Krishna as a person, and we're trying to connect with Krishna as a person, and that means we know we're not perfect. We know there's certain things we require in order to, and also to come in front of Krishna and say, I know this is not the best prayer, but this is why I'm asking for it, and I hope you'll be able to turn it around. In other words, yes, we're dependent on Krishna. Yes, we know that whatever Krishna arranges will ultimately be for the best, but that doesn't mean we can't also have honest, heartfelt exchange with Krishna. It's interesting in the Bhagavatam that different devotees express their prayers to Krishna in different ways, and it's not necessary that it's one-dimensional, and it's not necessary that when you ask for something, it's outside of the realms of pure devotional service as well. It's interesting here, Parikshit never asks for protection at any point, right? He's just kind of like ready, like he's like, okay, Krishna has come to me today in a different form, let me accept it. Whereas Uttara is praying for protection. Arjuna is praying for protection. So does that mean they're asking Krishna for protection is outside of the realms of pure devotional service? Let me ask you, how is it that someone could ask for protection from Krishna and it's not outside of the realms of pure devotional service? Okay, it's an expression of their complete dependence on Krishna. So it's not so much, when they're asking for protection, it's not so much about them, but it's more about glorifying Krishna's position that Krishna is so great, he protects everyone. It's Krishna, you see. So it's still not necessarily that that prayer is selfish. There could be other reasons, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, by submitting oneself before Krishna and putting, isn't it like a mother or a father, when the child comes and takes complete shelter, it's very relishable for them, because that's their bhava of wanting to protect, yeah. Definitely. Prabhupada in 1977 told the devotees, and not only 1977, many times told devotees that you can tell Krishna, you know, that our spiritual master hasn't finished his work. Allow him to continue living. With four extra words in the prayer, which are very important. If you so desire. That was like the footnote. So yeah, you can also do it in order, if your purpose is to serve, then it's interesting here, Parikshit knew that, it's almost like he knew that, okay, Krishna's got a bigger service in mind. It's amazing, you know, he had such a big service to look after the whole of the kingdom. But somehow within himself, he knew that Krishna has another service for me. What could be more bigger than being the, you know, president, the prime minister, the, you know, the king of the whole? What's more bigger than that is a service in which you reveal a book which will inspire generations to go back to Godhead. That's a bigger service. So every time Krishna takes one thing away, he has a bigger thing in mind. So. But yeah, one may feel that my service here is incomplete, so I have to continue. So yeah, there may be many reasons. Also, and I'll kind of wrap up, even also sometimes Nectar of Devotion says, it's interesting, what is the definition of pure devotional service in Nectar of Devotion? Anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karma dhyanavritam anukulyena krishnano shilanam bhakti rutama. Now, Anya Bhilashita. What is the... Okay, here's your test. Spot test. What is the difference between Abhilash and Abhilashita?
The A at the end.
Retract your
means that it's desireness or hankering rather than just desire, which is anya bilashita or bilashita.
Okay. Anyone want to add to that? No, that's good. Anyone want to add to that? Yeah, abhilash means desire. Abhilashita means motive. So, an abhilash and abhilashita is not the same. And the example is, for example, if you're walking across the street and a car comes out of nowhere and you say, Krishna, save me. Is that an abhilash or an abhilashita? Abhilash. Yeah, it's a desire. It's not a motive. Because if it were a motive, then every time you approach Krishna, you'd be like, Krishna, save me. Before prasadam, Krishna, save me. When the car comes, Krishna, save me. But you're not asking Krishna for protection all the time. There was a very specific, intense, acute situation, and you ask Krishna, save me. But it's not a motive, because it's not something you're continually asking Krishna for. So pure devotional service is free of any other motives. Which means that even in pure devotional service, a fleeting desire, an abhilash, may come, like Krishna, save me. And you're still not stricken out of the realms of pure devotional service, because it is not a constant thing that's in your consciousness. So someone may, you know, I mean, if a brahmastra is coming towards you, But you know what I mean? Like, we can't imagine what it's like, you know, a Brahmastra. Have you ever heard a shotgun? Real life? No. Have you ever heard a machine gun? Have you ever heard a missile launcher? Then, you know, and even if you did, we would still not understand what it's like if a Brahmastra is coming towards you. So yeah, so even in these situations, so you know, Krishna, this is the beauty of Krishna consciousness, that it's not so like, you know, so clinical and boxed up, you know, oh no, we don't desire anything from Krishna, therefore we should never ask Krishna or be personal with him. No, it's all, we're individuals, we're people, and things happen, but Krishna looks at the underlying condition of the heart and we reciprocate with that. So yes, this is today's verse. Parikshit Maharaj is coming up with the ideal prayer. And let us instill this prayer within our hearts, that number one, that if a genie would ever come to you and say you have three wishes, then the three wishes should be that we have love for the Lord, friendship with the Vaishnavas, and compassion for all other living beings, to bring them in touch with their spiritual essence. Thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Prabhupada ki. Gaur Premanande.